Well, good morning again, church.
Good morning.
Boy. Good music, good word, and I'm looking forward to it. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, we love you. We proclaim our love. You have loved us first, though we know that. And it's because of your love that we are born again, and you have made us new. Lord, open our eyes this morning as we dig into your word. So we look at the truth of your word and help us to see the great story of redemption in the word that you have given us this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm doing a little exercise with you this morning. Hope you don't mind, but I need for you to raise your right hand. All right, wave at me. All right, good. I need you to raise your left hand, wave at me. All right, now I need you to turn to the person on your right, raise your right hand, wave at them. You're probably looking at somebody's back, aren't you? Okay, now look at the person on your left and wave at them. Oh, you did it again. You fell for it twice, didn't you? All right, now I need you to stop your heart from beating. Anybody? No? All right, I need you to stop your stomach from processing your breakfast right now. Anybody do it? No? Well, I need you to stop your brain from processing, telling your body to breathe. You might be able to do that for a little while. The purpose of this exercise is to show you that there are voluntary and involuntary things that our body does. When I asked you to wave, most of you were very compliant and were able to wave your hand and move your arms as you wished because your body does what you want it to do. When I asked you to do something with an involuntary response or an involuntary motion that your body does, you're unable to do that because if you tell your heart to stop beating, it's not going to stop because your brain knows better. And it's programmed to do these things. Voluntary and involuntary are the ways that we have functions in our body. And thank goodness, when you learned about this in probably third grade, you realized I'm alive, not because I want to be alive, but because God has given me life and he's told my brain to do better than what I might think at times that I need to do. Right? This morning, we're going to look at some voluntary and involuntary acts of God upon his people. Voluntary and involuntary acts of his people and how God responds to them, how the Lord responds to them. If you have your Bible, I'm going to ask you to open up to Genesis chapter 11. Well, we'll start in chapter 12 and then we're going to go right back to 11. But Genesis chapter 12, I will begin with verse 1. If you don't have your copy of the Bible, we'll have the words on the screen. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that it will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Now, if you're a guest with us this week, we are walking through the Bible together in this year 2019, chronologically. We have made it through Job, which I understand Jason did an excellent job. I listened to it, by the way, Jason, this week, and it was very good. Your message from last week. We're in the 12th chapter, and what we're going to be looking at is the Lord choosing Abram. And the Lord choosing to do a work in Abram. Now, looking at the text here in these first few verses, what is the Lord going to do with Abram? Okay. He's called him. He's going to put him in a land. And he's going to make a great blessing out of him and his seed or his offspring. He is going to be a blessing. And this is God's plan. And as we know, we looked at John 3:16 earlier. I don't have it on our thing. Maybe he can pull it up. But Galatians 3:16 very clearly tells us that the blessing that God gave and the blessing that he said that you would be, Abram, was ultimately fulfilled in whom? In Jesus Christ. That this blessing was not that Abram was going to have a lot of things to give people, or that he was going to be nice to people, but that he was going to be the great, 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 great grandfather of Jesus Christ, who would bless this world with eternal life. This is the great blessing of Scripture, that we have Jesus Christ our Lord. What a great joy that is to understand. Now, with that in mind, in the big picture of the Scripture, Galatians and Paul ties this in and says, the great blessing, it's fulfilled ultimately in Jesus Christ. I want to look at a few things that, as you're reading through the Old Testament, that are going to be big picture ideas like that. We take the example, Paul says, Jesus is that blessing. I want to give you a few more things to think through as you're reading through the Old Testament Scripture and how the Lord is using big picture in the story of redemption. So here's my question. Where was Abram from? Anybody know where Abram was from? He was from a city called Ur. If you look back in chapter 11, verse 31, we'll turn there. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, and his son of Abram. They went forth together from where? From Ur. There it is. Ur of the Chaldeans, to go to the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. So Abram was from a land called, or a city called Ur in the Chaldeans, or Ur of the Chaldeans. And what that was ancient Babylon. It was ancient Babylon. Now this is going to be interesting, and this is going to be something that you'll see throughout the Old Testament, the story of Babylon. And Babylon is a very old city. As you know, it's alluded to earlier in the Scripture, and really just a chapter earlier. And if you know Genesis chapter 11, what story do we know about in Genesis chapter 11? All right, Miss Betty knows it. It's the Tower of Babel. You got the 11s. Helps you always remember that they make a tower in Genesis 11. So in the Genesis chapter 11, we read about the Tower of Babel and where this city is going, or where this place is going to get his name. So what I want you to think about this morning, and what I want us to know, is that the Lord calls people out of Babylon into blessing. The Lord is calling Abram from Babylon into blessing. And so Abram's going to do that. He's going to come from Babylon and go into a blessing. Before we go any further, though, I want to talk about that word Babylon, because I think it will help us understand the meaning of what's going on. When we read the story a couple weeks ago of the Tower of Babel, the Lord said he was going to confuse the languages of the people because they made a tower. We're going to look at that text and read it later. But I want to let you know that that word Babel means literally confusion. That word means confusion. And that is where the Lord confused the languages. So if you think about people who are babbling, they're confused in their language. And that's going to play an important part. We're going to look at two main themes this morning, Babylon and Egypt, and how they play out in Abram's life. So if you're ready, let's get back to Genesis chapter 12. And verse 2. Genesis chapter 2, 12, verse 2. And I will make a great nation of you. I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and to him who dishonors you I will curse, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? The Lord says, look, I'm going to bless you. All the earth's going to be blessed because of you. And Abram probably thinks at this point, man, this is going to be nice. God's going to bless me. He's going to make me comfortable. It'll be easy life. I'll be blessed. You can listen to a lot of preaching and teaching and read lots of books today that say the message that God wants to bless you and make you very profitable and comfortable and those sorts of things. But when you get into the text, what you understand is that's not really how it played out. And as Lee Corso might say, not so fast, my friend. That's not exactly how it plays out. Rather than going, than Abram getting up and going into a land and him being really comfortable and happy and having everything he needs, guess what happens very soon? Guess what happens very soon? Look in chapter 12, verse 10. Now there was what? A famine in the land. Does that sound comfortable? Does that sound easy? But I thought God was going to call Abram out into a place and bless him. I thought he was going to call him to a place and give him blessings and make him a blessing. But there's a famine. How does that work? Is God unfaithful to his promise? Of course not. We know this. But here's what I want to remind each one of us. Because you are blessed of God in Jesus Christ our Lord, because you have received a blessing from God in his Son, does not always mean that life is going to be easy. And I think Jason, wherever you are, took care of teaching that to us last week. Job believed in God, and Satan came and cursed him, took away everything he needed. Here's a famine in the land. But let me give you something else about this story that has always stuck out to me. God tells Abram, I'm going to bless you. Abram's obedient. He goes to the land that the Lord has shown him. But the Lord brings a famine in the land. Watch this in verse 10. So Abram went down to Egypt. Now, where did the Lord tell Abram to go? Where did he tell him to go? To that promised land. In that land of Israel. But Abram, trouble comes, and where does Abram go? Abram went on down to Egypt. I want to introduce to you a theme that you're going to see throughout the Old Testament, and we'll develop this in a moment. But in the bigger picture, Egypt is a temptation for ease and comfort. Egypt is a temptation for ease and comfort. And when the Lord called Abram to a land, he called him to a land, and Abram leaves it. He's tempted because Egypt has things in the day of the famine. And sometimes the Lord calls us to endure the famine. But here, Abram leaves, goes down to Egypt that was severe. And watch how things begin to have trouble when he goes down. Look at verse 11. Y'all still with me? Look at verse 11. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarah, his wife, we're going to have a problem here. You're good looking and I know it. That's what I tell my wife all the time. You're good looking and I know it. He said to Sarah, his wife, I know you are a woman beautiful in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they're going to say, this is his wife. Let's kill him. Then they will kill me, he says. But they'll let you live. So you are my sister, that it might go well with me because of you, and that my life might be spared for your sake. So let's play a little trick on the Egyptians and just say we're relatives, which is kind of true anyway. So let's just say that. Well, how do things go for old Pharaoh? How do things go for Abram? How do things go for Sarah? Let's look in verse 17. But the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great what? Plagues. Because of Sarah, Abram's wife. So Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this you have done to me? He could have done a lot worse, couldn't he? He could have done a lot worse. But he says, what is this you've done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she's my sister so that I took her for my wife? Oh boy. Now then, here's your wife. Take her and go. And Pharaoh gave men orders concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all he had. How about this for drama? How about this for drama? Now let me remind you what happens here. Abram or and his family, the people of God, voluntarily go down to Egypt. And while in Egypt, they get in some trouble. So the people of God go on down voluntarily to Egypt. And while in Egypt, they get into some trouble. And the Lord sends plagues to deliver his people from trouble. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like something that might happen again? That God's people willingly go into a place of bondage, get in trouble, and the Lord sends plagues upon Pharaoh and the house of Egypt to deliver his people from bondage. A voluntary bondage that the Lord will deliver his people from. Y'all know what I'm talking about, and that's the book of Exodus. God redeeming his people again. So here we have, in 2019, the story of redemption. We've looked at the garden, the redemption that God provided in the garden. We've looked at Job, and that Job knows that his Redeemer lives. And now here we see it again, the story of redemption, of God redeeming Abram from a voluntary bondage. And then we see ultimately that Jesus is the fulfillment of the great redemption story of mankind. So do you see what's going on here? The great story of redemption has been unfolded to us. Abram, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a blessing to all peoples, all nations. That's the story of Jesus, the story of redemption. And then you have little pockets throughout your Bible reading every week of how God is redeeming certain people from certain situations. And remember what we've talked about. What is redemption? Redemption is making something bad into something good. And here he does it again. He takes a bad situation that Abram has gotten himself into and he makes it good. I wrote these bullet points down. Let's see if you agree with them. In the scripture, what we're going to see is that we'll find God's disobedient people voluntarily going back into slavery again and again. The Lord will once again, or many times, I guess, deliver his people from exile and from slavery back into a promised land or a place of God's presence. A place of God's presence. But they will grow weary. They will be tempted by a new Egypt and then give themselves to a new Egypt, and the Lord will have to deliver them once again from Egypt. Won't be long, we'll be reading Judges. And you know the story of Judges. The people voluntarily give themselves over to another, quote-unquote, Egypt. And the Lord will deliver them. He'll send one to raise them up and deliver them from their Egypt again and again and again and again until by the end of the book they're just worthless, essentially. This is the story of redemption that we're seeing play out in God's Word. It is a beautiful book of many subplots, all coming under the great story of the blessing that God promised to Abram, Genesis 12:1. Are y'all still with me? Are you excited about reading this story of God's Word? What a magnificent thing for us to go through. Now, I've mentioned Egypt. We've mentioned Babylon. And we've mentioned the great Redeemer, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, I want you to know that all through the Scripture, Egypt, Babylon, and Jesus are present. And that has to tell us something. It has to tell us something. Those three themes are all through the pages of your book. So as we're reading through this year, church, I encourage you, look, soak in. Is this in Egypt where they voluntarily go through and submit themselves to a bondage? Is this a Babylon? We'll talk about this more in just a moment. Is this a Babylon where the Lord sends judgment? Where the Lord sends a people to bring judgment upon them? to bring about repentance? Or is this a picture of Jesus? Is this a picture of Jesus that we see in the Scripture? We looked at Moses in our ladies' Bible study we're studying through. We've looked at Moses. Moses, in many ways, is a picture of Jesus. We've looked at Joshua. He's a picture of Jesus. We've looked at David. He's a picture of Jesus. And many others. Exodus, Egypt, Babylon, Jesus, all through your Bible. Look for them. Let me develop just a bit more for you. Egypt. Egypt. Egypt is a voluntary bondage due to temptation. We saw it with Abram. We see it with Joseph, which we've alluded to for that book of Exodus. Joseph voluntarily goes into Egypt. Because why? Why does Joseph go to Egypt? Do we remember? There was a famine in the land. It's a famine that tends to drive people. It was a hard time that drives people to substitute provision. Well, not only does it happen with Abram, later Joseph, but it happens too to somebody else. Look in Genesis 26 with me, if you will. Genesis 26. I'm going to read quickly here. And the Lord appeared and said to Isaac, "Do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. For you and your offspring, I will give all of these lands. I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham, your father. I will multiply your offsprings as the stars of the heaven, and will give your offspring all these lands, and your offsprings, all the nations of the earth, shall be blessed." I'm sorry, "and in your offspring." That's the one very clearly in Galatians 3:16. It says it's fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So here you have Isaac tempted to voluntarily go to Egypt, and the Lord says, "Don't do it. Don't do it. This is the land. This is where my presence is. This is where I want you." One more temptation that we have, and of others. But here's one in Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. Egypt is a voluntary leaving of God for security or help from a godless people. And this is a theme. King Hezekiah is trying to keep his nation from being overtaken. And I don't remember in this case, I think it's the Babylonians coming in. And he is tempted to call to Egypt for help. And look in Isaiah 30 what happens. The Lord is going to speak to Hezekiah through Isaiah. And look what the Lord tells Hezekiah. "Ah, stubborn children, declares the Lord, who carry out a plan, but not mine." So Hezekiah's got a plan. "I'm going to call Egypt. I'm going to voluntarily give myself to Egypt, and then they'll help me. We'll submit ourselves to Egypt. They'll be our helpers. "Ah, stubborn children, declares the Lord, who carry out a plan, but not mine, who make an alliance, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, who set out to go down to Egypt without asking for my direction, to take refuge in the protection of Pharaoh, and to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt." Do you see it? How often and how many times does the Lord say, "Seek protection in the shadow of my wing"? Does he not? Does he not? Verse 3, Therefore shall the protection of Pharaoh turn to your shame, and the shelter of the shadow of Egypt to your humiliation. So there it is. The temptation to voluntarily go, submit themselves. Now, what does this mean for us? If it's a theme in Scripture, then it's probably important for us. So, Christian, I ask you, are you ever tempted to do things that the Lord has clearly told you not to do? Have you ever been tempted to go the way of compromise? Because, well, Maybe the Lord isn't going to provide for me. And this can be pervasive in every area of life, in relationships. Sometimes we compromise and say, well, I'm going to be friends with this person because I don't have anybody else to be friends with. And I don't think the Lord's going to provide anybody else, so I'll just compromise and go hang out and do things that I know are wrong and say things and be involved in activities I know are wrong because I don't have anybody else. It's a compromise. It's an Egypt. It's a voluntary, I'm giving myself to this person. I'm giving myself and I'm going to become in bondage. Or maybe it's a habit. I'm voluntarily giving myself to a habit that I know is wrong, but I know it'll make me feel good. Or I know I like it, even though I know it's wrong. So I'm giving myself to an Egypt because I'm safe there. I'm safe because I know it. But it's a compromise. And this is what the Lord is calling them out on, is saying they seek shelter in the Lord. Seek comfort in the shadow of His wings. Jesus Himself said, how often, Jerusalem, I've called and I would have gathered you like a mother hen and her chicks. You know that, right? Before He curses Jerusalem. I called to you. You wouldn't come to me. You voluntarily didn't come to me. It's a theme in Scripture. Let's look at another theme in Scripture. Babylon. Are y'all still with me? You ever find yourself giving yourself over to Egypt? You ever find that happening? Well, that's one way the Lord, one theme we see here. Another one is Babylon. And Babylon, what does Babylon mean again? What does the word mean? Confusion. Babylon. Babel. You're talking with confusion. You're not saying. People can't understand. Remember the Tower of Babel. Let's look back. Genesis 11. Now the whole... Genesis 11, verse 1. Genesis 11, 1. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And the people migrated from the east. They found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. So they had bricks for stone and bitumen for mortar, like a tar for mortar. They said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. A name for ourselves. Lest we be dispersed, like God wants us to do, to fill the earth. Lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people. They have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Oh, were they right? Was the Lord right? And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down there and confuse. And the word there, confuse, is Balel, which sounds a lot like Babel. But it will confuse their languages so that they may not understand one another's speech. So here you see the confusion coming in. So the Lord dispersed them from all over the face of the earth, and they left the building. Therefore, the name of the city was called what? I'll let Micah catch up. Therefore, the name of the city was called what? Babel. Babel. Because the Lord confused, and there it is, confused the languages of all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them all over the face of the earth. From this point forward, what we're going to see is God cast judgment down at this Babel. It's this place. God brought His judgment for people being disobedient to Him. They were supposed to scatter and make a name for the Lord. They gathered to make a name for themselves. Do you see that there? You see that? So the Lord brings judgment. And from here on out, this Babel, this confusion, is going to be a way for the Lord to bring judgment upon disobedient people. And we're going to see this through our reading of the Old Testament. Look in Jeremiah 20. Jeremiah 24. Jeremiah 20, verse 4. Look at it in a for instance. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will make you a terror for yourself and all your friends. They shall fall by the sword. This is Jeremiah speaking on behalf of the Lord. They shall fall by the sword of their enemies while you look on, and I will give you all, give all of Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon. And he shall carry them captive to Babylon and shall strike them down with the sword. Do you see Babylon being used for judgment here? Second Chronicles also has Manasseh, the last king, the wicked last king of Judah, the last one. He's going to be carried off. This comes to fulfillment, Jeremiah's prophecy, in 2 Chronicles 33, verse 10. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, and they paid no attention. Therefore, the Lord brought up the commanders of the army from the kings of Assyria, who captured Manasseh with hooks and bound them with chains and bronze and brought them to Babylon. And what happens when we... Let me tell you the difference between Egypt and Babylon. Have you seen it yet? Y'all still with me this morning? These themes are going to be important, so I hope you catch them. Egypt is a voluntary bondage, which we looked at. I'm going to Egypt because they can help me and make me comfortable. Got it? Got it? What about Babylon? When does Babylon come along? Babylon comes along when people are being openly and willingly disobedient to God. And he brings an outsider to judge the people. So you have one in which the people are willingly giving themselves over to a people, and the Lord brings judgment through the people. That very people who they think is a refuge becomes trouble and brings bondage. Babylon, we're just going to stay and ignore the Lord. I don't know if you noticed, but Manasseh, with that passage there, it says, but they paid no attention in verse 10. They paid no attention. I'm ignoring God. I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm ignoring him. And the Lord brings an outsider and says, ignore me and I'll bring judgment. It's who I am. Watch for these themes throughout Scripture. And what happens when the Lord brings his judgment? I want to show you a psalm. Y'all like the Psalms? Y'all still with me? Are y'all following this? Are y'all following this? Look in Psalm 137 with me. This is, if you've checked out, come back in right here. This is a great psalm. I want you to see what happens when we ignore the Lord and when the Lord brings judgment upon us. Look at Psalm 137. The Babylonians come to the people of Israel and they say, hey, sing us a song. We want to hear you sing us a song. You're supposed to be God's people, right? Sing us a song. Look at Psalm 137. How shall we sing the song, the Lord's song? By the waters of Babylon. By the waters where? Of Babylon. They're in exile. The Lord has taken them away. Involuntarily taken them out of their land and put them in Babylon. By the waters of Babylon. There we sat down and did what? And wept. When we remembered Zion, on the willows there we hung up our lyres. I'm not going to play. For there our captors required of us songs, and our tormentors required joyful songs, mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? People ignore the Lord. They're brought out of their land into a place. And do they have the joy they were singing? They can't even sing the song now. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. Let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth. It's so dry. Let my tongue stick to my roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. And that is speaking of returning to the Lord. So here it is. When Egypt comes, you voluntarily give yourself, you become a slave to what you think will give you joy, but it brings you into slavery. When you ignore the Lord, on the other hand, in Babylon, he will draw you out of your joy and bring you to a place of the desert. And so how do we bring this into play today? Well, How many of you have ever ignored what you know the Lord would have you do? Have you lost your joy? Have you been brought to a Babylon where you can't sing the songs of the joy of the Lord? The Lord doesn't. He will bring Babylon. He will bring you into Babylon if you reject Him, if you draw away from Him. And He will bring an involuntary Babylon upon you. But church, I've got good news. I'm going to end right where we started. And that was right in Genesis 12. The Lord said He was going to bless. The Lord said He was going to bring a blessing upon all peoples. And I've got good news. The good news is this. Whether you're in Egypt in bondage or Babylon in misery, I've got two words for you. Jesus saves. So friend, if you're in Babylon this morning, over here, Jesus saves. And you can return to Jesus. Return to Jerusalem, if you will, and sing your song again. Or sing your song for the first time, because Jesus saves. If you're in bondage to Egypt, if you have voluntarily put yourself under something that you thought would give you hope and security and joy, I've got two words for you. Jesus saves. And He can save you from Egypt with His mighty right hand. So everyone in the house, Christian, non-believer, visitor, guest, and member, the two important words are Jesus saves. And by His blood, by His death on the cross, He's purchased for us pardon. He's purchased for us a return from exile, a return from bondage into the presence, the promised land, the place where the presence of God is. Do you want to be with God? Because Jesus made a way. And so I encourage you this morning, if you are lost in Egypt or lost in Babylon, come and return. Repent of your sin, change your ways, and throw yourself at the feet of Jesus. Come and be saved. Church, Jesus saves. Can you say it with me one time? Jesus saves. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh Father, save us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Save us from Egypt. Save us from Babylon. Save us in Jesus' name. And I pray that You awaken people this morning for Your glory, for Your name's sake, for our joy. Oh Lord, save our souls. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.